Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. We'll catch up with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow in 1 hour. Predators fall 3-0 to the Boston Bruins last night. And that is one that just stinks to lose. That's one that's tough to swallow, but even in a loss, I felt encouraged. We'll get into that. We'll get into our thoughts from the game last night. But after we got the show all planned and the clips all sent to Nick, we had a little bit of breaking news. Breaking news coming in from Adam Schefter about an hour or two ago. Stefon Diggs to the Houston Texans. The Texans are trading a second round in next year's draft and a sixth in this year's draft in exchange for a bolstering of their wide receiving core. Willie D, D. Mace, happy Wednesday. Your initial reaction to the Stefon Diggs move to Houston. Man, those Texans are moving and grooving this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, they are doing a smart thing. They're taking advantage of a rookie quarterback on his rookie deal. And they're trying to stack this team and help him by any means necessary, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I'm sure Coach Rhines believe he has the players, and they're going to add more. But he has the players that he needs defensively. He just needs to add more from an offense standpoint. I don't think anyone saw this move coming. How could you? They got Tank Dell, who was blossoming before the injury last year. Nico Collins finally came on after, you know, being in the league a few years. And it just seemed like their offensive line is good. Quarterback is, you know, he's projected to be the next, you know, great young quarterback moving forward. But I didn't see this one coming because I thought they were, you know, if they were going to do anything in regards to a wide receiver, maybe through the draft or getting a wide receiver in the second or third wave of free agency where guys get cut. But for them to make a move like this, this is telling. It shows me that they understand that this is the time, especially after your quarterback has shown so much in his first year, this is the time where you need to stack your roster from an offensive standpoint, because no other time will you be able to do this. Why? Because you're going to have to pay that quarterback when his time is up to get his money in about 3 or 4 years. You got to pay him upwards of 50 plus. So they want to do it now, stack this team as much as they possibly can now, and that's what they're doing. So kudos to them. What does it say for the rest of the division? Watch out. That's what it says. Watch out for not just the AFC South, but watch out for the AFC in general, because they are truly, from an offensive standpoint, a player now.
I think it's a bold move by Houston. I think it's probably a good move for Buffalo. And I was listening to Nick's little report there on Buffalo is going to pay a pretty good dead cap hit here, but there must be some...
$31 million.
But what do they get monetarily down the road? They eat a big chunk this year. I know they've been up against the cap, right? They've been in the window, so they've had to
that
be
bill
careful.
Is due.
They're rolling up some credit card interest rates, right? So they're paying a big chunk of it here to not have Stefon Diggs. That being said, I think the drama was getting to the Bills with Diggs. It was out there the whole year. He did not have a good year, not nearly as dominant as he had been the previous couple of years, his first couple of years with the Bills. And so I think he probably wanted a fresh start. Mm-hmm. The Bills probably wanted a fresh start. Now, what the Bills do at wide receiver is going to be interesting now, because they still feel like they can win, I'm sure. And from the Houston standpoint, you nailed it, D. Mace. They know that they have the luxury of adding a piece like this with a young quarterback who they're going to have at a really good price for a couple years now. So they have, and they've been building for 4 years, not 1 year, but 4 years. So they're in position to go try to win right now. So it's a bit of a roll of the dice. I'm really curious to see what Diggs does at this stage of his career going forward, because I know how you really believe how talented he is, but
yeah,
he really disappeared down the stretch last year. I know, because I had him on my fantasy team. I'm like, what's the deal? He used to catch 8, 9, 10 passes a game, and then those Those numbers came down. He was catching a few less, and even when he was catching them, he wasn't getting as many yards. His yards per catch went down. What happened?
And because people, you know, when you don't have that bona fide number two, then guys are able to just zero in on you and what you do. It looks to me as if, you know, they just scouted Buffalo's offense really well. And they knew exactly what he was going to run, when he was going to run it. That's the problem with being in one. That's one of the problems. And when the offense really doesn't change much, with being in an offense that long, that doesn't evolve and doesn't change, is that eventually defenses will pick up on what you do with one or two of your guys. Now, listen, we can say, well, look at Kansas City and what they've been doing. But Kansas City has arguably the greatest play caller in Andy Reid, one of the greatest. They have probably, he's going to end up the greatest quarterback or right below Tom Brady. That's a little bit different. This situation, I think, when you have a guy in a one team for the period that he was with Buffalo, you pick up on tendencies of what they like to do with him and what they don't. In that second half of the season, I don't think it was so much of Stephon Diggs losing a step or anything. I just think teams figured them out, you know, and it was harder for us. So they had to go to their second or third options, and they started to run the ball a little bit better. So I'm not going to look at his production in the second half and say, well, he's lost it. I just think teams figured out what Buffalo was doing, and they took him out of the equation.
And I would agree that on a game-by-game impact perspective, mm-hmm. the latter half of the season, it felt like he was less of an impact. But even just looking at his overall numbers on the season, it was kind of right on par with what he had been doing the three previous years in Buffalo.
1,300 yards.
It was just shy of 1,200 yards, averaging a touchdown every other game. 160 targets. That was the second fewest he'd gotten in Buffalo, but 166 in 2020, 164 in 2021, 154 in 2022. He played in all 17 games.
He's going to get the
target. He's been right around 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 yards every year that he's been in Buffalo. So I'm with you, Willie, that the second half of the season, it kind of seemed like he tapered off. But overall, his numbers are still at a very high clip.
He still get to targets. The numbers are going – because it's – we have to – because of the way the NFL is now, adding another game, we have to take stats out of it now. Because if you are a somewhat – if you are a good receiver in this league, good to great, you're going to have the numbers based upon how many times teams throw it, you know, the rules and all this other stuff. So I don't so much look at the numbers of what a guy puts up and what he doesn't. I want to look at his effectiveness during the game, third down, red zone. That's what I'm looking at. Damn the numbers, because, you know, if you watch these receivers, all these guys are getting numbers. That's just the way the NFL is now. Marginal players are getting over 1,000 yards. You never saw that. But I want to see.
Especially in a 17-game season.
Exactly. Especially 17 games a year. So I think with Stephon Diggs, watch not necessarily the numbers, but the crucial points in games, third downs. Did they target him more on third downs, or did they go away from him in the second half? Mm-hmm. Red zone, did they target him more, or did they go away from him? Was he more of a decoy? Because teams are double teaming him, and that frees somebody else. So we got to look at all of that in regards to, well, his production dropped the second half. It could be him, mm-hmm. but then it could be how defenses are trying to take him out of the game, and how Buffalo wanted to use him to open up other people.
That is what I cannot answer. Exactly. Is why it happened. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the numbers. The second half of the season, from week 10 on, he really dropped off. Like his first half of the season.
It was half.
Yes. His first half of the season is right on par with what he had been since he'd been with Buffalo, which was, in my mind, an elite mm-hmm. wide receiver. By the end of the season, and I agree with you, you can't just look at catches, yards, et cetera. You got to look a little deeper in the numbers. I'm looking at some of the analytics on it. It just wasn't real efficient. You know, 4 out of 11 targets, 6 out of 11 targets. Mm-hmm. The yards. Week in, week out, from week 10 on, 34 yards, 27, 74 on 11 attempts, 11 targets, I should say, 24 yards on 11 targets, 48 yards, 29, 26. Damn. And then week 17 against Miami, and I don't remember the significance of the game, he had much more of a Diggs kind of game. 7 catches for 87 yards, much better. But that's a long drought there. And believe me, my fantasy team suffered accordingly. So that's why I kind of had it top of mind. So the question is, with a new offense, new quarterback, fresh start, can you get another year or two of number one kind of guy? Because it's pretty scary if you do, because it's not like Houston doesn't have anybody else who can catch the ball.
Yeah.
And right? Some of those guys that I hadn't heard of before last year, those guys can play.
And I do think Stephon Diggs, to a certain extent, was fed up with being in Buffalo.
I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, I think he was.
I really don't know why. How many more times does he want the ball thrown to him?
I don't even think it's that. A part of me do believe, and this is where now we're going to see whether people believe Josh Allen is a elite quarterback.
Okay.
That's a great question out of this trade.
Is he because for the longest, I've always said he's a good quarterback, but he's not elite. I don't care what y'all tell me. Because the minute Stephon Diggs got there and Stephon had already established himself in the NFL as one of the better receivers, then his numbers picked up. Mm-hmm. Well, we want to see after he leaves what happens to Josh Allen. And I think a part of me believes that he just got tired of it being the Josh Allen show. Like, it's Josh Allen and nobody else.
When it really wasn't, Josh Allen wasn't Josh Allen until Stephon Diggs.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I think he got a little upset about that. Like, y'all forgetting that I've been the most consistent. The minute I stepped into this building, we changed as a team. It wasn't the quarterback. It was me. But y'all giving the quarterback all this love. I think that did mess with him a little bit. Like, I'm not like, and then y'all not involving me either. Like, what are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. I think he got tired of that.
And I think he got tired of Josh Allen doing Josh Allen.
Exactly. Josh Allen messing up, as I've always said.
It was the Bills could get as far as getting eliminated by the Chiefs or the Bengals. And it was more often than not at the hands of Josh Allen dumb, boneheaded mistakes.
Yeah.
And even,
they should have lost the Miami game had it not been, he threw 10 intercepts. That's what it seemed like years ago.
12.
And they barely beat a team that was on their backup or third string quarterback.
And we wouldn't have said that in the first half of the year. The second half of the year, I was wondering. And the other thing that sometimes you don't know is, was there something physically that he was playing through?
Physically wrong.
That was maybe taking a little bit away from what he normally did, but it got weird.
Yeah.
And that whole thing in the off season the year before with the,
I think that's out of nowhere,
I think seems to be festering some.
Like, yeah, I think that kind of ruined everything. I think eventually what happened this past off season ruined it for the season and any potential of him retiring a Buffalo Bill. Like you said, that whole thing was odd. Mm-hmm. And they tried to play it off and tried to correct it, then tried to say some other stuff. Nah, y'all didn't sit right. Stephon Diggs didn't sit right with y'all, and y'all didn't sit right with Stephon Diggs.
I do want to get into the Houston side of this, mm-hmm. what this means for the Texans, what this means in terms of the division, what the offense in Houston is going to look like with Stephon Diggs. But while we're on the topic of Buffalo, when we talk about the context of the AFC, we talk about the Chiefs, mm-hmm. we talk about the Bengals, the Jags, now the Texans. And the Bills are firmly in that conversation. Of course, the Ravens as well. The Bills are firmly in that conversation of contenders in the AFC. Teams that you're going to have to get past, that the Titans would have to get past to contend for a Super Bowl. Without Stephon Diggs, I think as long as Josh Allen is in Buffalo, they're still going to be in that conversation. But how intimidating do we view Buffalo, and how much do we view them as a contender right now without Stephon Diggs? And I very much so expect Buffalo to address the wide receiver position in the draft, whether it's at 28 where they pick or whether they trade up to get one of these top receivers in the draft. We'll see whenever draft time comes around. But right now, without Stephon Diggs, how much of a contender is Buffalo truly?
That's a really good question. I want to see what they end up coming out with at wide receiver. They have the two tight ends, right, that are really good and create matchup problems. And when they have them both, which they didn't always, right, because now why am I blanking on this? name, the kid from Nashville, from Brentwood Academy.
Dawson Knox.
Yeah, Dawson Knox. He got hurt, missed a lot of games last year. And then they drafted the Kincaid in the first round last year. Mm-hmm. And so when you use both of those guys effectively, I think you can do some things there. You may not need a lot of different wide receivers. It's going to be different. I think they want to run the ball more. Maybe ask Josh Allen to run less. He's getting to that stage of his career. But they won in spite of Diggs' slump last year. Remember, they were in serious peril, right? It looked like their season was slipping away. They weren't going to make the playoffs. They had to beat some really good teams down the stretch to get in, and they were doing it without Diggs playing a big role. So I still will have to say the Bills, I'm not writing them off, but I'm anxious to see what they try to do to compensate not having Diggs, because this is now a guy that you've thrown the ball to in the last 4 years, 166, as you pointed this out before, Caroline, 166, 164, 154, 160. That's a lot of plays thrown to the same guy. That's a lot of plays that are going to go to other people.
Yeah, like, damn, you ain't got over 1,000 yards. They target you 160 times. Something wrong.
Well, that's the thing.
It's not even just Stephon Diggs. Obviously, he's the latest cut for the Buffalo. Well, he's the latest trade for the Buffalo Bills, or the latest player they've departed with. They've also departed with Jadavious White, both of their safeties. They have some pieces they have to fill.
Yeah. The cap is getting
there. It's not just a Stephon Diggs. Now, Stephon Diggs is probably – not probably. He was the most notable name of the guys that have either been released or now traded. Mm-hmm. But they lost key parts of their defense this offseason that they got to replace. Now losing Stephon Diggs that you got to replace, and Gabe Davis that you got to replace. So you've lost, and I'm just pulling the number out of the air because I'm basing it on 160 targets. And probably Gabe got targeted at least 90 times. Let's say that. So, all in all, you probably lost over
81.
Targets. So you lost damn near 140 catches this season. Probably more than that. So, now how do you replace that 140 to 200 catches that you got between Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis all in one season?
That's where, again, in the salary cap of the NFL, as flexible as it is, Josh Allen, you just pointed out the key for the Texans. They can take on Diggs because they have Stroud making his first contract, league minimum, whatever it is, first-round pick quarterback, which is not a big price. But now Josh Allen once was in that. Now he's on that second contract where he costs a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. What his cap hit is, I'm looking at Spot Rack right now, 30 mil this year?
For Diggs?
No, for Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
And
30.3.
And they did sign Curtis Samuel in free agency. He's not Stephon Diggs.
It's just a different financial model when you have a quarterback that you're reinvesting in, as they should, but you need elite play.
Yeah.
He needs to be elevating whoever those receivers are. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the responsibility when you're a quarterback on the second contract. We know Mahomes can do it.
Right.
Can Josh Allen do it?
We'll see.
D-Mace is a little skeptical.
I say he's a good quarterback.
Every time he throws an interception, I think of D-Mace. I'm like, D-Mace is watching this?
He's a good quarterback in this league, and he's going to win you some games, but he's not elite. He's not.
It's fair to be skeptical.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you can't beat the Joe Burrows and the Patrick Mahomes of the AFC, then you don't get to be in the class with those quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. But I do want to get into, coming up next, what does this mean for Houston? What does Stephon Diggs add to their offense? And what does this mean for the Titans? What does this mean for the division? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Your reaction to the news this morning that Stephon Diggs has been traded to the Houston Texans. Chase texted us earlier, right as the news broke, said Stephon Diggs to the Texans. I said, Chase, April Fool's Day was 2 days ago. Don't do this to me. Don't you dare, because this makes the division much, much more interesting. We'll get into your reaction. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Even though today's kind of a day of uncertainty, maybe a day of uneasiness. I see a lot of Titans fans in the text line all anxious about what next season looks like with the division and the Texans. I still want to give something away, and we will do that at the end of this segment. So stick around, because we've got a pair of tickets to give away to a massive Predators game coming up on Thursday. Blues at Preds on Thursday. So stick around. We'll give those away at the end of the segment. But D-May, it's just your knowledge of what this Texans offense looked like this past season. As explosive as they were with Tank Dell and Nico Collins, now you add a veteran in the mix in Stephon Diggs. What does Stephon Diggs add to this Texans offense?
I think he has experience. You get him with a young quarterback, that you can build a rapport with, that you hopefully the young quarterback can learn, you know, something from. And you just give him another weapon, another bona fide, consistent weapon out there. And it takes the heat off of Nico Collins. And I think this move was seriously made because of the injury of Tank Dell. They don't know how long, you know, even though he missed portion of the season, they don't know how long it's going to take him to get back to form, like to get back to what he was prior to the injury. I think this was made for that reason. They believe he's going to come back, but they don't want to be in this sort of stall pattern while they're waiting on him to come back. Will he still play? Absolutely, Tank Dell will still play, but him getting back to form is going to take some weeks. So you add a Stephon Diggs to lessen that blow as he gets back into rhythm, being a young guy, Tank Dell. I think that's why, one of the reasons why the move was made. The other is, again, you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal that showed hella promise last year. Your defense is one of the best in the National Football League.
And you added Danielle Hunter.
And exactly. And you had a Danico Autry. All these guys that were good for their previous teams, now you've added them. Matter of fact, with the defensive rookie of the year, Will Allen, you put all of that together, this defense may even be better than
Will Anderson. Yeah.
This defense may be better than what it was last year based upon the acquisitions that you have gotten thus far. So now you add that. You add a Stephon Diggs with a young quarterback. Now you believe, and this young quarterback believes, that there's nothing he can't do in the game. He feels like Patrick Mahomes now, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, where Patrick came up to the line. We all know Patrick is the greatest quarterback that's playing now. But when you could come up to the line and you got a Tyreek Hill and you got a Travis Kelce and these other guys that you just know that's going to ball out every week, you know how much pressure is on you as a quarterback? There's no pressure. Now you just go back and you play the game the way you know how. That's the same thing for their young quarterback, C.J. Stroud. The stuff that he showed last year, it's going to be nothing compared to what he's going to be able to do this year if everyone stays healthy. Now, as a quarterback, you're thinking, I could turn the ball and give it to Big Mixon in the backfield, and he can get me 4 yards per carry. Or I can line up, and we can get in shotgun three wide receivers, and we got three bona fide number one wide receivers. They got three of them, people. Three. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and now Stephon Diggs. You got three.
You think Tank Dell and Nico Collins are ones?
Yeah, I think they showed that they're ones. Their numbers, everything that they did last year and prior to Tank Dell being injured, showed that he had the ability to be the number one. Now you have three number ones on your team. And I'm not even talking about the tight end. This quarterback, all he has to do is sit back and pick and choose who he's going to throw it to, because you can't double everybody. This is the same thing we saw with Joe Burrow, when everybody was healthy. How do you cover that offense with a running back that can run the football? The only thing you hope for is that the offensive line is not good and we get to them. Well, Houston's offensive line is good. Running back's good. Wide receivers and tight ends are good. Quarterback is damn good. What do you do to an offense like that? How do you stop an offense like that? You can't. Not all teams. There are some teams that can make it hard for you. But only the only reason this team gets stopped is because of injury in themselves. Because they have the players. This makes the quarterback's job a little bit easier going into his second season.
I don't pretend to know their whole roster backwards and forwards like I think I know the Titans roster. But it strikes me, and this is why I go back to, this has really been a 3 or 4 year build. But remember our argument that we had where I'm a little concerned about the Titans spending all the money up front to fill holes on free agents and really not having the foundation with the draft picks, and there's nothing they can do about it, right? You can't do anything, especially Rand Carthon, about the fact that the previous guy had three empty cans with the draft for the most part, right? They're just trying to do the best they can. But if you look at Houston, remember the Laremy Tunsil deal, and then at the end of Deshaun Watson, some of the moves by Bill O'Brien, they stripped themselves of a lot of picks. They went through two straight years of not having a first-round pick. And 1 year where they didn't have a first or a second round pick. This was 2021. So they paid the price. They were bad. Then how did they get it back? Well, they got this huge haul for Deshaun Watson. They got the Browns to take him, pay him all that money, and they got him, they got a boatload of picks in return. So now they have had the 2022 draft, two firsts, two seconds, two fifths, and then last year They went in big to get the two high first round picks and traded what would have been a high first round pick next year. And they hit it big, right? They got Stroud and Anderson. They both did well. And so they've packaged a couple of good drafts, a couple of years of rebuilding, and now they're ready to add the, as I call it, the icing, right? They're going for it now with a move like Diggs.
Totally.
I think that's a smart way to build it. So now we'll see what happens. But I think they've put themselves in good position. Are they even with the top teams in the AFC? That remains to be seen. But I think they feel like they're in a position to go for it.
This is a go-for-it move.
Sure.
Are they in position to contend with the Chiefs and with a healthy Joe Burrow, the Bengals, and the Ravens? I think so. And this is just pushing it into the pot even more of, if we don't think that we're there, then we're going to add a Danielle Hunter and a Stephon Diggs to firmly put us there. Because I don't know how you can call the Texans not Super Bowl contenders. Mm-hmm. I considered them Super Bowl contenders last year. And they made the additions in free agency that they did in Danielle Hunter and adding Joe Mixon and now the addition of Stephon Diggs. I think the Texans absolutely are Super Bowl contenders and can be, of course, with the asterisk of injury. That's going to be a factor in any team that we're going to call Super Bowl contenders. So I think as a Titans fan, you can think about it one of two different ways, or both things can be true. One, the AFC just got that much more difficult because you used to contend in a division that was awful, that was terrible. And now the division just got that much better because you've got a Super Bowl contender in the Houston Texans. What does Anthony Richardson become in Indianapolis? I don't know, but I'm scared to find out. You know, what do the Jags continue to do? We'll see. So your division's that much more difficult. You're in an AFC that's incredibly difficult, where it seems like there's not a team that you can face that doesn't have a really great to elite quarterback. So that's scary as a Titans fan. But you can also look at it on the other side and say, 2 years ago, the Texans were the laughingstock of the NFL. That a couple of years ago, the Houston Texans were, you know, mud on the bottom of your shoe and a team that you could laugh at. Now
well, that
Super
mud
Bowl
is
contenders.
The Cleveland Browns. Like they bailed them out. The Browns bailed out the Texans because they had what were they going to do with Watson? He was sitting there. They had that whole weird, bad, awful situation where he was there but he wasn't there. Remember, he was coming to practice, but he wasn't really on the team.
Yeah.
And then magically, poof, he's gone, and you have all this draft capital that you don't even know what to do with, but they've been smart with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all of a sudden, that was the magic wand.
And that's
and they were rid of the problem. Yeah.
That's how quickly you can turn things around in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times you can get that kind of.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to. It looks easy. When you can hit on the quarterback. When you hit on a quarterback,
right.
It's easy.
A lot of things fall
and
into
Houston
place.
Houston hit on their quarterback. We see what's going on in Carolina. They don't know if they have their quarterback or not because their team was just horrible.
They have nothing around.
Yeah, they were just horrible. Yeah. So if you get the quarterback right, that's more than half the battle. and for Titan fans, because because your second half of the question was, what does this mean for the Tennessee Titans? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say this. It means the same thing for the Tennessee Titans that it meant prior to Stephon Diggs going to Houston. Mm-hmm. If everything is predicated on Will Levis, if Will Levis hit, then you will be contending with Houston for the AFC South and Jacksonville and Indianapolis, depending on how Richardson comes back from his injury. If Will Levis hit, if he shows that he's getting this and he's a good quarterback and he's getting better every week, then you are a major player still in AFC South. If it doesn't, then that puts you a year or two behind, because now you got to go draft a quarterback the next following year.
Yeah.
So fans, don't worry about what Houston is doing. Don't. Seriously. Because Houston's doing all of this. If they didn't have their quarterback, all what they're doing means nothing. But they have their quarterback. So that's neither here nor there. If Will Levis is what he has shown to be at times last year, if he's that consistently, I'm not saying throw five touchdowns every game. If he did that, then great. He's the next GOAT. And I will crown him that. But if he's a guy that can come out and win you games, don't make those mistakes, continue to get better each game, you're going to be right up there with Houston. You are. That's just the way it is, because you planted it. It's different when you only play a team once a year. You see them every 3 or 4 years. It's harder to play against a team like that. But when you see a team twice a year, then just because they go out and make all these transactions and bring in new players in, that doesn't mean that you still can't go out and beat them.
Of course.
You go out and beat them. Why? Because you know them. Because you played against them twice a year for the last whatever year it is. But if Will Levis hits, I don't care who they go get, it's still going to be competitive. The Titans are still going to be in this thing. Everything is predicated on Will Levis. That's it. And if anybody tells me different, then show me. Because any team that has a quarterback, they are in a position to win championships, or in a position to get themselves in the playoffs. And then ultimately, once you get in the playoffs, everything is up for grabs after that. But if you have your quarterback, you're good. If you don't have your quarterback, then you're going to be playing catch up.
And the theme of the hour, the huge thing is, if you get the quarterback who not only is your man, mm-hmm. but is able to win on the first contract, where
exactly.
you have that extra money in the budget to really go get what you need. And to do that, like the perfect storm, and we've seen it happen with Mahomes when he was a young quarterback, Russell Wilson when he was a young quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger when he was a young quarterback. If you have some good drafts, mm-hmm. you get the quarterback and you have that budget to really go get exactly what you need for the icing on top. Mm-hmm. That's how you build a really, really good team.
Because my thing is, what separates the Houston Texans right now? Let's just say from an offensive standpoint, what separates the Houston Texans from the Tennessee Titans? What separates them?
Well, a lot. Stroud. No,
it's not a lot.
It's Stroud.
It's the quarterback.
Yeah.
That is it. Because, listen, the Titans are going to get their offensive line straight. I'm not worried about that. People are panicking whether they should draft the left tackle, receive all. They're going to get the crap straight. Just believe that. They're going to get that front line straight, okay?
I think also the coaching staff. It's an unproven
coaching staff, yes. But if you look at this, just man for man, if I had to put their receivers up against the Titans receivers, it would be almost a wash other than the third receiver, because we know about Tank Dell. We don't know as much about Treylon Burks because he's been injured. But we know what Ridley can do, and we know what D-Hop can do. That cancels out Diggs and Nico Collins. We got Pollard in the backfield. He's a good back. You got Mixon in the backfield. Mixon's a good back. The Titans will get this offensive line straight. Now, they may have an edge at tight end, I believe, that the Houston Texans. But if you look at it from man to man, once the Titans solidify that offensive line, which I believe they will do this offseason, the only thing that separates them is the Titans don't know what their quarterback is. Houston knows who that quarterback is. That's the one thing that separates them.
And that's the
it's
most
a big
thing.
It's a big thing. I get it. But if Will Levis shows that he can be that guy, then now we've taken a team that many feels going to be at the bottom of the AFC South. Now they're going to be players because it's all predicated on this one guy.
I think the reason why I say a lot separates them is because we've seen the Texans and their proven commodities.
Yeah.
I think that Calvin Ridley is going to be massive for this offense. I assume the Titans are going to fix this offensive line. I believe and I hope that Will Levis is better with the additions offensively and bringing Brian Callahan in as kind of a, you know, a quarterback guru whisperer as the head coach. But I don't know. The Texans are a proven commodity with what they did last season. And I think this offseason they've only upgraded and adding Danielle Hunter and adding Stephon Diggs and adding Joe Mixon. And they added a bunch of other players in free agency too. But I think those are the three most notable additions that only makes a good team better. I think
But also we have to go back to this because we brought this up last year when we talked about Jacksonville, at least not Willie and I, because I think Willie and I were like, Jacksonville's, they're going to be that team. They end up floundering and not being that team. But when we would bring up Jacksonville, oh, they're going to play a hard schedule this year. Remember, they're going to play a hard schedule this year. They're going to play a hard schedule. And I'm like, okay, if that's what you want to say, then I get it. Okay, you can have that one. Why ain't nobody saying that about Houston this year? Oh, Houston's going to – because they're playing a first-place schedule now. So it's going to be much harder. And then you can't sneak up on people anymore. Not to say that C.J. Stroud is going to regress that much. I think he's going to be who he is. But now you know. I know what I'm playing up against. Now I have a whole offseason to game plan against what they're doing there in Houston. Now, will it change C.J. Stroud? Maybe not. But at least you know as a defense coming in what you're going up against each and every week. And they're playing a much harder schedule.
We've got a bunch of thoughts on this. We'll get into your texts and your calls on this coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Plus, I heard Jason Big Joe when I was driving in today. I was listening to their show and their reaction to Stephon Diggs heading to the Houston Texans. And the conversation that they were having was, does this now change your view of what the Titans should do in the offseason? We'll get into that coming up next. But I did promise a giveaway. And we will give away a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the St. Louis Blues tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. A massive, massive game for the Predators. So be the first person with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question, and you'll go see the Preds take on the Blues tomorrow night.
All right. The Predators and the Blues do have a little bit of history. It's a big game tomorrow. Nashville leading the Blues by 6 points. If the Predators can win that game, they go a long way towards clinching a playoff spot, and they will deal the Blues a big blow. The Blues have some life. It'll be some good stuff. They met in the 2017 playoffs in the second round. The Predators, of course, swept the Blackhawks in the first round. Do you remember who the Blues beat in the first round to then meet the Predators? And I'll give you a hint. It's a Central Division team. So who did the Blues beat in the first round of the playoffs in 2017 to then meet the Predators in the second round? It's the only time they've ever met in the playoffs, the 2017 run to the Stanley Cup final for Nashville. 615-737-1025. That's 615-737-1025. If you text and give the right answer, you don't win. You can't win. You have to call and talk to Nick Frazier. He is ready to take that call, and you can win tickets and be there on Thursday night. What Central Division team did the Blues beat to meet the Predators and then get beat by the Predators in the second round of the 2017 playoffs?
Tomorrow, it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rex Road tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. We're getting your thoughts on the Stephon Diggs trade, what this means for the Houston Texans and the AFC South. But we did have a trivia question to give away tickets to the Preds-Blues game tomorrow night. Willie, the correct answer?
Yes. By the way, if you listen to just the promo you read, you listen to the shows, you got the hookup for the tickets. These are big games. This is fun.
Hottest game of the year.
Just listen to the station. You got your shot here. We got big games coming up here. We asked who the Blues beat to then meet the Predators during that 2017 Cup run. Of course, 2 years later, it was the Blues that made the run to win the Stanley Cup. In 2017, they beat the Wild in the first round. A little side note, the suit texted his answer to me.
Can't do that.
Can't do that.
Can't do
was
that.
Was it wrong?
He got it wrong. He was like, his next text was, damn.
He was so confident, I'm sure.
But who got it? Who got it, Nick?
Justin.
Justin, congrats. Justin. You're going to the game Thursday. Big one. Get down there. Get down there.
It's going
to
be a big one. Early.
Need a
game.
Smashville standing O. Need the energy.
It's going to be bring a it. Great
Justin,
game.
We need you to be the first person in the building, if you can. We need you to be there front and center.
If you're not early,
you're late.
That's right.
And if you don't have a catfish in hand,
what are you doing with your
get
life?
One.
Then, yeah. then figure it out.
I understand, though, if
I
you don't
know.
Want to do that.
Bass salmon?
Gotta be catfish.
Gotta be catfish.
Bass salmon and throw it on ice?
Gotta have those whiskers, D-Mace.
What if somebody threw like another fish on ice? Like
a goldfish?
That'd be some confusion.
Yeah, a bunch of little goldfish on ice.
Like a beta fish?
Yeah, what if somebody did that? Or clownfish or...
That would be confusion. People would be going to have that look that a dog gets sometimes when they hear something weird, kind of that side look like, what?
Gonna start
not a goldfish.
PETA's
not a catfish.
I'm gonna think I'm gonna start that up.
He's gonna start toss a trend. Just toss a goldfish in a bag.
Just toss a goldfish or something.
And just splashes all over the ice.
Hey, okay. Gotta change it up, man.
All right,
gold for the predator.
The catfish will work.
Catfish will do. That'll do. All right, let's get your thoughts on the Stephon Diggs trade. Stephon Diggs headed to the Houston Texans, and all they had to give up was a 2025 second rounder and a 2024 sixth rounder. Let's get your reaction on that. Our dear friend, Indy Ben, texted.
Oh,
my goodness.
I wonder how Indy Ben feels about this, since he spends all of his time hating on the Tennessee Titans. It says, Texans have a pass rush, Tennessee doesn't. Texans have an offensive line, Titans currently don't have one outside of center. I don't disagree with either of those things that he said. It says, and give me the Texans wide receivers now with Diggs over what Tennessee has. Frankly, I agree. I would give the Texans the edge in all three of those areas.
Again, the only reason I give them edge at the receiver position is because of if you just, you know, because you figure not Tank Dell, but Nico Collins still is your number one. Diggs comes in as your number two, but can be elevated to your number one. The only reason I put Nico Collins as the number one because he's been in the offense. He understands it. He's built a rapport with the quarterback. So he's the number one. Diggs number two. Tank Dell is the three, close three, because I think he can, too, be elevated to the two or the one. You look at the Tennessee Titans. Ridley is a one. D-Hop is a two, but can be elevated to a one.
A high-end two.
Yeah. But Treylon Burks is sort of this triangle. Treylon Burks is the guy. He's the guy that can make this closer from an offensive standpoint. That's all I think I'm talking about, the offense. I'm not talking about the defense. He's the one guy that can elevate this whole group by his play. So I do put Houston ahead of the Titans because I saw what Tank Dell did. Now he'd be coming off an injury. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. And I saw what Treylon Burks has been able to do, or the lack of things he has been he has done because of injury. Mm-hmm. But if he comes on, I take this receiving core over that receiving core.
Yeah, that's an
if he does come on. Mm-hmm. That's why I say from an offensive standpoint, I believe the Titans are going to get the offensive line corrected. The thing is the quarterback. That is the big question. If they hit on the quarterback, Titan fans, y'all ain't got nothing to worry about, not even this season. You hit on the quarterback, you hit on your left tackle, you're going to win 10 games. But if the quarterback is struggling, then that's where things become a problem.
You know, but just to answer their question, what comes to mind for me when you ask the question, how does this affect the Titans? I've been saying this now for a few weeks, even after the wave of free agency. Just be prepared for them to be picked last mm-hmm. in this division, and that's okay. This is an exploratory year. It is a rebuild, whether they want to label it that way or not. It's going to take a little time. You got to see if Levis is your man. And everything starts and probably ends with that. Mm-hmm. But as far as you said it last segment perfectly, D-Mace. Houston's going to make some moves. Indy's going to make some moves. They're going to draft people. People are going to say, well, look at what Indy got to go. And Richardson's coming back. You got to let everybody do their thing. They're going to do their thing. It's a salary cap league. Everybody's got basically the same amount to spend. Some have a little more cash up front on hand to do stuff than other teams. It's the only thing that's not the same. the Titans have to worry about the Titans. They have to build. They inherited a situation. This is a brand new era. It's going to take a little bit of time, but just have to make smart moves. Keep your head down, make smart moves. It doesn't matter what the other teams are doing. You don't react to what other teams are doing, right? You do your thing.
And that's what the discussion was on Chase and Big Joe. I forgot who asked the question, but it was, you know, now that the Texans have gone out to go get Stephon Diggs, does this now make you feel like the Titans need to go out and get a receiver? And I don't think it should.
No.
I thought yesterday the Titans could upgrade at the wide receiver position. Now that the Titans have signed Calvin Ridley, I don't think that it is an absolute positive non-negotiable like how I view left tackle. But I still think the same thing today. That I think they could absolutely upgrade at the wide receiver position. But just because the Texans now have Stephon Diggs doesn't make me feel like, oh my gosh, I have to go out there and go sign the next best receiver on the market.
No, it shouldn't. Because you're not trying to go tit for tat. You're trying to build your team based on your philosophy and based on your needs. Houston's going to do what they need to do. Houston has a jump start. They have a you know, a lap lead on you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you chose to, you know, run it back once again with the old crew. It ended up not working while Houston started with the new crew. And their new crew seemed to be damn good. So they are a lap ahead of you. Now you got to find a way to slowly catch up because it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. So Houston's going to make their moves. And like Willie said, you make your moves based on what your team needs. Now, if there's a guy out there that, you know, that is not a need, but you can get him and he's going to upgrade your roster, then go ahead, do that. But you're not making moves just because Houston made a move. Houston went out and got Diggs, so you feel you got to go out and get another wire. No, you don't.
Do what's best for your roster.
Exactly.
I'm curious to get Jonathan Hutton's perspective on the Stephon Diggs move. And, of course, what we heard from L'Jarius Sneed and from Rand Carthon yesterday. Some latest mock drafts are out. Have some interesting moves for the Titans. So we'll get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on all of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.